Hello everyone and welcome to Toonami Therapy on February 11th of 2021. I am Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we're here once again, as usual, or really almost as always, to talk about some of the stuff we've been watching, some of which is actually on Toonami. Hence the name. I don't know what we're going to do if we end up, if there ends up being nothing on Toonami we're interested in. Maybe it'll just be a legacy title.
It would just be called Therapy.
I mean, with all the tangents we go on, I was wondering, oh, wow, maybe Tangent Therapy would be a good title.
Yeah, it's possible.
Okay, so here we begin with Attack on Titan episode 64. So in this episode, well, there's basically three things that have important things that happen. First, we have, well, actually, I guess, first we get a big speech from that guy Tiber, who talks about important history stuff that, if you haven't been paying close attention, won't make any sense to you. But if you want the explanation, essentially, so the backstory of the series was that the King of the Eldians decided to just go off to this island and have all these walls that have titans in them and say, hey, if you decide to come after me, well, they'll come out of the walls and they'll destroy the world. But then we find out here that was actually, he just decided, because the Eldian Empire had taken over places and stuff, he decided, well, I don't think that's really that nice of a thing. I'm just going to grab a bunch of people and go off there, and that way we'll stop oppressing everyone and such. I'm not, that whole thing about trying to destroy the world, nah, that was just a bluff. I just kind of made that up. You can come over here if you want later on and take the Founding Titan if you want. So That was a big thing, him saying that, although, because I actually forgot this reveal here, were we supposed to be taking this as a truth? Because I don't think it's contradicted later, but, well, anyway, we got that. Meanwhile, the other, some of the other people they had that can turn into the Titans got lured into this, basically, pulled away and lured into this trap so they can't transform. And then Eren decides to go Titan just as the guy is saying, we're going to declare war on that island. And then Eren bursts out, like, right then. I mean, you couldn't... He has good timing.
Yeah, so I actually had to watch this episode twice because the first time I watched it was Saturday night, and that speech put me to sleep, and I was barely awake. So I remember seeing the "to be continued" screen, but I couldn't remember anything that happened. I watched it again. And this time I liked it a lot more than I liked it the first. Well, obviously I didn't see it all that much the first time, but I liked the whole thing going on with Eren and Reiner and that whole argument between them, and then Eren turning into a Titan. I'm still not really sure what Eren's goal is. He seems like he's just gone rogue, but so I guess we'll find out what his plan is, why he's got this idea of just turning into a Titan and just randomly like this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is. I definitely do enjoy this more when it's in the anime, just because it comes out on a weekly basis instead of a monthly one. And you get more information per week than even the chapters per month, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really need to stress up until this point how annoying it was to be waiting all this time for just any main character to show up and do something.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the anime, it's much faster.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we got that. Okay, so we're going to save Sword Art Online till the very end because of the fact that, well, it's the end of the season. All right, so we didn't watch Fire Force, so we'll move on to Assassination Classroom episode 20. So in this episode, well, Karma goes up against that other guy in a fight, which honestly kind of feels like, if it makes sense, a JoJo fight, but without stands.
Yeah, you got a point there. That's kind of, yeah, I wouldn't argue with that.
So they manage to beat him, so they get to the next floor. Nagisa has to dress up and pretend to be a girl in order to go undercover, because, I mean, you have to do that joke at some point, I guess.
He didn't have to try very hard.
So they basically do that, and he's, let's see, right. So then they need to get through this guard, so they basically get a distraction, and then they just manage to get through. There's a bunch of stuff where Nagisa gets the life story of this random guy we haven't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
That was a little weird. I can't, maybe the guy ends up being important later on, I can't remember. But that's basically how they manage to get through that. And that was basically the episode.
Yeah, so just talking about this episode made me kind of think about what show I might want to add to our list, because there's a show with a similar character to Nagisa. See, I thought this episode was the best episode yet of Assassination Classroom. I thought it was hilarious. I just loved that whole Nagisa as a girl thing. That was so funny. I couldn't stop laughing about it. And now it was a little heavy-handed there with the whole thing about Nagisa got him to give up cigarettes or something like that. That was a little over the top, but I just couldn't stop laughing about Nagisa being a good girl and the girls putting him up to doing that. That was great. And then you also had Karma torturing that poor guy who, after he beat him, then he decides to torture him. And you know what? Another reason why I might have liked this episode so much is because, like, Kuro Sensei is, like, completely absent from the episode. And I guess since he was hardly in it, it somehow made the show a lot better. And, yeah, so I really liked this episode. And I know it's just humor, but it's pretty good humor. And there's another show I am thinking of which is very similar to Assassination Classroom that I will suggest to you at a later time. So we'll see about that.
Okay. What's its name? Or do you want to not spoil that?
Yeah, it's called Baka and Test.
Okay. I think you mentioned that show to me, but I can't remember much other than you said that you thought I'd like it.
Yeah, it's straight comedy. So it's all comedy. It's like the classroom setting and kind of similar characters. And yes, there's a male character who looks female but it's all comedy the whole way through. I think it's pretty good. So it it does have the best things about Assassination Classroom in it. So well, I think you might like it.
I mean, I don't mind pure comedy. My favorite show, again, is Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo. I hope they put the dub on Crunchyroll, or I hope they put it someplace so I can make you watch it.
Okay.
if only to see your mind completely blown at the utter insanity of that series.
Okay.
Only problem is the early episodes, I don't think, are that great. Yeah, I remember when I was watching it originally, I was kind of losing interest in it. And then it started. My biggest problem is that they're really repetitive. Not repetitive. They're too random a lot of the time. That's my problem. There's a lot of randomness and insanity, and that's fine because that's a comedy, but it's too much of that. Once more of a story gets going on, and there's, I guess, a little more... it's still insanely random and absurd, but it's got a little more focus to it, and that's what turned it into basically my favorite show.
I see. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So we've, let's see. Right. So that was Assassination Classroom. We did both actually watch SSSS Gridman. Although I'll be honest, I watched it. I cannot really remember much about it.
Yeah. That's similar to the way I felt about it. I was like, okay, nothing really happened in this episode. It just felt like we were, you know, getting some stuff about these characters. But this show just, I don't know, it just hasn't really, like, I was hoping at least for some sort of, like, major conflict that would be like, okay, now things are getting real, but there's just no real hook to it, you know?
Yeah, I'm not that big on it. I'll probably be stopping it after this because there's a bunch of stuff I'm watching. This is it's a later show. I mean, I could watch it after the fact, but then that takes some extra time. It takes me longer to watch a show when I'm not watching it live because I have this, I'm constantly finding myself, even when it's a show I really like, I'm constantly pausing it to just do something random, then come back to it. So that ends up taking more time. Whereas watching it live, you know, it forces you to keep watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, not that much to really say about that. The big thing I remember is that anti-character, the one that was one of the monsters but survived, he ends up, they're fighting the monster and he shows up and it's a three-way thing and that's kind of it, really.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then we move on to, we end with the Toonami stuff and we have Yashahime episode 18. So they end up after I can't remember the name of the guy they were fighting. The disposable enemy decides to just leave. They end up going up against what's his name? Torin Maru? It's something Maru. Kirin Maru.
Right.
Who I assume is going to be like the actual major enemy of the series, and he's able to beat them. And then Sesshomaru shows up and just says, "Oh, come on, look, there's a lot of episodes left. You can't do it. We can't have the real fight yet." And then he leaves.
Uh-huh.
He just basically shows up, tells them, "Hey, don't kill them," and then leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Well, his presence there is a little longer, but plot wise, it's basically all that happens in regards to him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they meet Kirin Maru and lose. So I guess the point of there is to demonstrate his strength. And then Sesshomaru shows up briefly. And that's basically the episode.
Yep. And I knew he was going to get to this point at some point, but now the discussion on the Yasuhime Facebook page has turned rather toxic because now they're starting to talk about Susumaru, I guess, just not being a good guy, to say the least. And if you read between the lines, and it's we moved past the part where everyone was like, you know, happy about seeing the characters again. Now all of a sudden it's basically getting into some social issues and stuff. And I don't know. I remember I was praising this show the high heavens for its first 5 weeks or so, and now it's kind of just gotten really, really just not that exciting, and yeah, just kind of boring, you know?
It's basically the problem is it's too long. It's now, yeah. I don't know how long this will last. Like I said, I've heard 52, maybe that's true or false, but whatever episode number they have is clearly higher than is necessary because they're spreading all this stuff out. All of this stuff we've seen could have been done in half the episodes, maybe less than that. If you had stuff like this, would have worked so much better if we had been wading through all these almost filler episodes just to get to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've really padded this out, and if it was like a 13 episode show, I get the feeling that I'd still be really enjoying it, you know.
Yeah, that, and I can't necessarily say it should be 13 because I don't know how much plot there is left. I'm just saying it could be that it justifies having a longer length. It just clearly doesn't justify having the length we currently have because of the fact I can look at it and say, you could have done this in fewer episodes. You did not need this many battles against disposable enemies. Having a few to, you know, give some characterization stuff, that's fine, but there's too many of them, especially when you keep dangling these things in front of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a big problem right now. There's all these questions and you're just wondering about them and it's taking too long to answer them.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. So that was Yasuhime. Now we've got Ghost in the Shell episode 45. So they're still going after Kuze, and so the Major does a hacking thing on him and apparently manages to get information that way, but somehow gets, I guess, mentally injured doing so. So then they go to try to take him out, but then it turns out he was actually someplace else. Which, for some reason, Bato gets really angry about.
Uh-huh.
This is the second time he's gotten, I've noticed this season, he normally, this sort of frustration over one of his partners messing something up. Because before he did that with Togusa, where he got really angry about Togusa not dealing with that person who had the bomb, in his view, correctly. And here he does it to the Major for doing it wrong. And so I don't know if that was just if I'm reading too much into that or not, but it does feel like he's been more argumentative this season than the last one.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, other than that, that was basically the episode.
Yeah, not too interesting an episode this week, except for maybe that little gunfight at the end where they're trying to, you know, get that guy. Yeah, so how many episodes are left?
This was, I think we've got seven. Let me count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Okay. 7 episodes, 26, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't bad by any means. It just wasn't that interesting to me, so.
Yeah, I found the first half of it kind of a bit boring. I thought it got more interesting later on, especially when they had the firefight thing. There was that bit where the Major mentions that she doesn't go into any detail, but after she does sort of manages to touch his mind or whatever, she says, "I know him." It's ambiguous, but it's making me very much strongly think that Kuzey, that when we got that overly long story thing about the girl and the boy and the origami swans a number of episodes ago, and it basically stated the girl was the Major, I'm pretty sure the guy is Kuzey, and that's what that was in reference to.
Yeah, probably. There had to be some sort of connection there.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't. The overall plot of this season is not working for me as well as The Laughing Man did.
Yeah, Laughing Man was a pretty good one. And, I mean, just that logo of The Laughing Man itself was worth discussing.
Yeah. All right. So we've got ReZero episode 44. This is so. All right. Okay. So here we've got. So Emilia goes up to the seal thing with the key because she apparently is the key or something like that. But because she remembers her promise to her mother, who I thought the previous episode was saying was her mother, but no, it's not. I guess the whole part, "You are my mother," was meant sort of, you know, not my literal mother, but you essentially are my mother. That sort of thing. That was, let's see. So there is that. So she refuses, much to Pandora's annoyance. Then Fortuna, I'm not sure if I should put mother in quotation marks or not, but yeah, her mother, you can decide whether to put quotation marks there or not, who's, you know, relieved that she at least kept that. And she is trying to get rid of Pandora, but Pandora, you just kill her and she just pops back up. I do like how nonchalant Pandora is about just constantly apparently dying over and over. She keeps like just saying, you know, I can understand you're angry, but can we talk about this? She's just treating it like a minor annoyance.
Yeah.
So then Beetlejuice shows up, and then he tries to kill Pandora, but Pandora did some sort of, well, she used Aizen's power and and made him kill Fortuna instead, which, well, traumatizes him and presumably is what caused him to eventually become so completely insane down the line.
Uh-huh.
It also hits Melia hard, who I'm not sure how she suddenly gets the power she's got, but she's now able to basically throw all this stuff at Pandora and doing that thing where, you know, like she basically apparently dies. I mean, you see like all the blood and stuff, but then she like, you know, keeps popping back. Then, and in doing so, Emilia is also causing all kinds of ice to go around her and everywhere else, which causes the whole place to freeze up, including herself. And Pandora's just like, well, I guess, well, someone with greater power will come along to set you free from this, or your energy will just drain out and you'll be out. Either way, you'll be out eventually, and just leaves off with Beetlejuice. So I guess having all those memories and stuff, getting all those memories back, gave Amelia the necessary catharsis, and she passes the trial. And then when she finds out there's more, she goes, wait, there's two more? And Echidna says, oh, don't worry, the viewers are tired enough of this already. You'll just zip through them. I mean, I'm sure that now that you're fighting back, they'll be very easy. Yeah. So we get through all that. Then Subaru decides, well, now is a good time to just grab Garfield and Otto and talk to Roswell.
Yep. So the thing I took away from this episode is that Amelia cries a lot. Like, a lot. Like, almost this entire episode was just Amelia crying. Either, so, you know, it's in either one circumstance or the other. We just get all this crying, and hysterical crying. And it really was annoying me because I don't know. I guess he passed the test, but yeah, there's got to be a better way to do it than unless the entire point of this trial is to establish the fact that Amelia is a crybaby. But that's pretty much what I took away from this.
Well, I thought getting all this backstory now was interesting. On the whole, I really did like the episode. I thought it was interesting. I think, honestly, my favorite part is, I don't know why I liked it so much, but it's after Amelia's mother died and Pandora's like, well, now that your mother isn't here, I guess the promise doesn't matter anymore, so maybe you can unlock that thing for me. And Amelia just says die and then like throws that like cutting spell or whatever that kills her. And then she keeps doing it over and over. She keeps just saying die, die, die over and over, and keeps attacking her. And that's what then and she keeps doing it, and that's what causes her to freeze over. And I thought, oh, that was actually really cool. But the only real problem I think I had with it was, so this is Beetlejuice's backstory. And I'm like, well, it's kind of, I mean, I guess we got backstory, but does it really matter? It doesn't feel like any of the, like this gives me a new perspective to his character. Because, I mean, I guess it explains, okay, this is why he's insane, but you didn't really, that wasn't really something that was important. He's just an insane guy, and it might have he's dead. So I guess we get the ReZero bucks a trend. Instead of getting the big backstory flashback before they died, we get it after they died. Anyway, I don't feel it really gives. There's still such a big disconnect between the character we see here and the character we see later. And I mean, it's really saying, okay, so you know that character? Well, they used to be a completely different character, and then they just went crazy.
Yep.
And I don't feel, maybe it's possible that if I went back and rewatched stuff with him, some of his insanity stuff would actually make a little more sense with this context. Maybe it will. Maybe it would. I don't know. But I just feel that I wish it had connected a little better. The problem is the fact that Beetlejuice died. If he was still alive, I could have seen how this would end up being important. But it just feels so unnecessary at this point.
Yeah, I agree.
But other than that, I thought this was a pretty good episode, and I really did like it quite a bit. I did want to mention something I wanted to mention, because last episode I was saying that I knew Pandora and I did want to, and I was wondering if I could say it because it might be a spoiler. Well, I checked and actually it did strongly imply in the previous episode what it was, but this episode it explicitly states she's a witch of vanity, which I thought was actually interesting, because so a while ago I remember you were saying that it was a little surprising that so many manga or anime series use the motifs of the seven deadly sins when Japan isn't really, you know, a particularly Christian country. So I said, well, I think it, you know, Full Metal Alchemist just did it and everyone thought it was a cool idea and copied that. But this is much more of a deep dive, because vanity, that's not one of the seven deadly sins everyone thinks about, because the way it was, so the whole idea came from this one guy named, I'm going to be dropping some historical knowledge on you. Evagrius Ponticus, who listed sort of eight of these sort of like evil thoughts. And they were, well, you'll recognize most of them. There's gluttony, lust, greed, wrath, pride, and but then there was also there was, oh yeah, and sloth. Well, okay, actually technically it's a little more complicated, because he had them in Greek and then they got translated into Latin. The Latin is a better known versions of the things. Well, okay, I'm sorry, I'm getting sidetracked. So basically they were gluttony, lust, greed, despair, wrath, sloth, vanity, and pride. And you, and that's eight. So what happened later on was when Gregory the Great decided to sort of standardize the seven of them, he basically folded vanity into pride, despairing to sloth, and added envy. So the reason I give that random historical bit is the fact that it mentions vanity or vainglory. And I was like, wow, that's a deep dive to go to that. And I was like, that was surprising. They like must've clearly done some kind of real research on this sort of thing to find that out. Or maybe that's actually known in Japan for all I know, but that was a surprisingly specific thing to actually make note of. And apparently later on, we actually do find there is also a sort of, I don't know if they were just in the past or if they're involved in the story, but there was one of melancholy, you know, despair, an alternate way of rendering despair. So I'm like, wow, that's really going into a deep dive on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, I didn't think it was a bad episode, but I was a little annoyed with just all of the Amelia crying nonstop. And I thought of this joke that I have a friend who has a daughter named Amelia, who was born just a few months ago, and I'm pretty sure that even C didn't cry as much as Amelia did in this episode. So, yeah.
Actually, that reminds me, this was something kind of funny. This video I saw, it's was this thing like this baby's, you know, first words. And, you know, there's this baby, like, you know, she goes, mama. And apparently there's a bunch of people around off camera, because they're like, you know, like this kind of gasp and everyone starts clapping and they're all excited, the first word. But all the noise freaks the baby out, so it starts crying. I just thought that was a little funny. Okay, so... Whew, ReZero. And so now you have your deep dive about an abbreviated history of the idea of seven deadly sins. Mm-hmm. So now you've got, that time I got reincarnated as a slime, episode 29.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So basically it's this new village and... Some of the goblins give this one girl some problems, and then she starts a fight, and then she's like trying to use a spell on them.
Wait, you said New Village. Isn't this their usual place? Or was it New?
Yeah, I'm sorry. That wasn't what I meant.
Okay. Sorry.
But, yeah, so basically then, I don't remember the name of the pink hair girl. Do you remember it?
You mean like the priestess person?
Yeah.
It starts with an S, but it's not Xion, because that's the other one. It starts with S. What was it? I can't remember. I know her name was something like Xion.
Okay. Yeah. Cause she and Xion show up and kind of, take control, and there's some other stuff, but I don't remember it too well. Could you help me with that?
Okay, so let me see if I can find, double check on what her name was. So basically, the bad guys want to use an excuse to start a war, so they send some of those guys in there to try to basically stir up trouble and get themselves. They wanted them to provoke the monsters into attacking them so they could say, they attacked humans. So they're trying to do that, but it isn't. What was that noise?
My computer did something. I was trying to look something up and.
Okay. No, that's fine. I just was wondering what it was. I was wondering if something suddenly went wrong with the audio. Okay. So they do that, but it's not working out. Then the person with the pink hair, whose name I can't remember, shows up and tells them to leave. And then they decide, those three guys decide to attack. So a fight starts. Meanwhile, what's her name? It starts with, I can't remember anyone's name. It starts with an M, Mulan, right? That girl who joined that adventuring party as a mage, because, you know, she's working apparently somewhat unwillingly for the bad guy, and he wants her to do something to make it so that communications can't get in. And the other guys are kind of like telling, oh, you don't need to do this. And it's weird because we get the big love confession stuff, and I'm thinking, didn't you know each other for 4 episodes? I don't think it's even been that much of a time in universe even for this sort of thing. And then like there's the part where she say, well, because she does some sort of transformation, goes like, I'm a Majin, and you know, they're like, I don't care. And I'm thinking, what's a Majin? Is that something bad? It's treated as it's a big deal. And I'm thinking, do people not like them? What's going on? Why is this a big deal?
Yeah.
So, but getting through all that stuff, they basically get through, and they, the bad guys manage to pull off the thing so they can't communicate. So Rimuru, who's out somewhere, they can't communicate with him, so he might not be able to come in and just solve the whole thing himself with his overpowered skills. So I guess they'll just have to rely on their, instead of Rimuru's super overpowered skills, they'll just have to use their own regular overpowered skills.
Yeah. So, I didn't really think this was a particularly good episode. I kind of enjoyed that part with Xion and the pink haired girl,
but Shuna, that's her name.
Shuna. Okay. So we know her name now. I'm going to have to write that down. I'll like post it on the wall or something. That way it's like next time this happens, like, okay, Shuna, we remember this.
I mean, you could just call her, I don't know, like priestess, ogre person. You know, it could be the new jerk kid.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she's not a kid or a jerk, but you know the point.
Yeah. Yeah, so just a kind of okay episode.
Yeah, I wasn't... It's just so weird, because I was pretty sure that Mulan, I only remember it because I wrote it down, and I can't remember what the other guy was, but... I mean, they were clearly showing, oh, there's probably going to be some sort of romance there. I was expecting that would be something that would develop over time, not just, oh, I am totally in love with you, even if you're just deceiving me. As long as I think it's real, it still is real. And I'm just like, oh, okay, that's, you've known each other for not that long, I don't think.
Yeah.
Like I said, in-universe, it doesn't seem like they have known each other because he was... Because there's that part where you think, ah, we've got her on our team now. We can use him to beat this guy, and then they still lose. But that was last episode. Although I did think, she apparently was into him also. So that's like the weird part where that was something that I want to pull back a little to something. That's the part where he's going, oh, I'm totally in love with you, blah, blah. And she says... I wrote it down. She like said, like, the Mulan you've known all this time was just a pretense created to deceive you. The one you love doesn't even exist. And then he pulls out that whole, well, even if it was a deception, if I believe it's real, blah, blah, that stuff. And I was thinking a much better response would have been, well, the fact that you're trying to tell that you're saying this rather than continuing to try to deceive me is just proof that you weren't actually making the whole thing a false pretense. I don't know if I explained that well, but although it gets confusing because it would be basically saying, well, I know you're not I know you weren't deceiving me because if that were the case, you'd be trying to deceive me there instead of now trying to deceive me by claiming you deceived me when you didn't deceive me. And thus you are deceiving me and trying to say you deceived me, even though you kind of did, but you didn't really. Okay, maybe that goofy line he gave actually does make more sense than what I came up with. Okay. All right, so lastly, we come to Sword Art Online, episode 96. Now, for about the last year or so, you and I have been watching at least some of Toonami live together and just kind of talking about it as we watch it. In which I then repeat some of the jokes I make there for the podcast, and you laugh at them again anyway, because I'm that witty. Or maybe you're just being polite. Please don't tell me which one it is. Anyway, the reason I bring this up is the fact that this was an episode where I wish you had been able to stay up for with me because you had to leave early. And because I would have loved to have seen your live reaction to some things in it. Okay, so, but we'll go through it sequentially. So first off, we've got Alice, who has gone missing and turns up at Kirito's place because she mailed herself there. How did she even seal herself in?
Yeah, that was really weird. Although my sister and I got into things much smaller than that when we were kids. We would crawl into like dog crates and stuff. we were small enough to fit into a lot of little things.
Well, maybe I didn't say that right. Well, I'm not so confused about how she got into the box, but she was mailed. How did she get into the box, have the box sealed around her so that it could then be mailed? Did she actually go to the post office, get into the box and say, hey, just seal it around me?
Yeah.
So they do that. then she and Kirito spend some time together. They do a sword fight thing where she beats him because, I mean, she's made of steel and such. There's this weird part where she's wearing that nightgown or something, and then there's a gig of, oh, you're not wearing much. And I am thinking, Sword Art Online, why did you have to make me suddenly start wondering, how anatomically correct is Alice? Because it's a robot, but it looks very human. How anatomically correct is this? Is it like, much like I never needed to hear Data in the third Star Trek episode say, oh, I am designed to be able to give sexual pleasure. I do not want my mind to be wondering about how anatomically correct Alice's body is.
Yeah.
So then they decide to go back into the game where, as it has mentioned, 200 years have passed and Kirito took away their memories for no apparent reason. And then we get to the part that I wish that I was alluding to, that I wanted to see your reaction to, which is the fact that apparently in that intervening time, they've developed spaceships. So, and the descendants of some of the characters they knew before are piloting them and fighting monsters in space. They meet each other and they're like, oh yeah, you're the legendary people from the past. And that's where the episode ends.
Yeah. Yeah, really. Who were those people at the end? Were they characters we knew or new characters?
The two that showed up, I think we were supposed to take them because 200 years have gone by, we're supposed to take them as the descendants of some of the characters that we knew from before.
Okay. Okay.
I can't remember which characters corresponded to what, but that's where I was thinking they were supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah. That was pretty weird.
Yeah. So here's the thing. So I was expecting, okay, so it's the end of the season. Alicization is finally over. It's the end of the arc. They'll like just kind of resolve things and then they'll move on. And then they suddenly throw this at us.
Yeah.
The first thing, so here's what I'm confused about. So this whole thing is digital. The whole concept was that they wanted to make full AIs because Yuki doesn't qualify because of technobabble. Mm-hmm. And so to do that, they had to make this digital world and have the digital AIs be born and grow and die and all that stuff like regular people. So they set it all up to be a fantasy world because why not? And all that stuff. So they set up all that things and stuff. So did they actually, when programming it, decide to make it so that, oh, hey, there's if you grind hard enough, then you can manage to unlock space flight. This isn't regular real life where you can, you know, go from that lower level of technology to get to the spaceships. It is like in Dr. Stone where, you know, where the manga is right now, they've made airplanes. So it's not like that where you can get to that sort of thing. Was this actually in the thing? Did the programmers make it so this was possible? It all just feels like this whole thing should have been some sort of alternate fantasy world instead of, you know, a digital thing.
Yeah, that didn't make too much sense to me, but I guess 200 years they managed to develop enough that they were able to create spaceships, I guess. I don't know. And yeah. Then Yu-Gi-Oh! His ghost appears, like like Anakin Skywalker at the end of Star Wars. And that's what it reminded me of. It was like, okay, so we're doing the whole final episode of, you know, final scene of Return of the Jedi again. And Yu-Gi-Oh gets to appear there, and you know everyone's all happy, and then in the
DVD or Blu-ray release, he gets edited out and replaced by Hayden Christensen. But yeah, I totally can buy in 200 years I'm getting to that level of technology. It's just the setup for it, when we know what we learned about the world, it just doesn't make quite as much sense. But well, whatever. I think we just have to almost treat it as an alternate dimension at this point.
Yeah.
So I guess the reason. So okay. So we ranted a bunch about the 200 years thing last episode. And this at least explains plot-wise why they did that. They had to have that go back in time and forward so that this could happen. So they would come in, and I guess they couldn't remember it because it was necessary for them to be surprised when they find out about it.
Right, yeah. And that was the reason why he had his 200 years of memories cut out.
But why in universe did Kirito want that done? That's the question.
Well, now, because I don't, that's a lot of memories. I mean, I'm, you know,
maybe it'll explain it like when the story continues. Maybe we'll get an explanation for that. Hopefully we will, and maybe that could help justify some of the things I mentioned, although except for all the questions of how well wouldn't he have forgotten more things, but I don't know, maybe they'll give an explanation for that. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. But yeah,
honestly, the way you described it, I was expecting it to be a lot crazier than it was.
I'm sorry if I set you up for that. It just was, I was just so completely, amazed. But oh wait, it's science fiction now?
Maybe that's where the final arc goes. I assume
I did look it up a little to see what's going on. So apparently in the light novels, the next two light novels are devoted, it looks like, are a plot, are about this plot. It's a continuation of this, and it wraps things up. Then a new arc starts up, which looks like it's going to be a really big and long one, like Alicization, because, you know, we need another super long arc after that one.
Yeah.
And that one is still going on in the light novels. So for all of what I've been talking about there, honestly, I do find this idea interesting. It actually is an interesting idea for, you know, for the when you're going between like one world and another, for it to actually go forward in time a bunch and be so different. Like with like new technology and stuff, it's like in the Chronicles of Narnia, of course, the plot point is that time in that world goes way faster than in this world, which is why when the characters leave Ed and then come back to it in the future books, when only I think like maybe a month or a year has gone by, a ton of years have gone by in Narnia. And well, despite that happening, the level of technology never seems to increase at all, which is fine. Which is fine. That was the story that the author wanted to tell. It being, you know, a fantasy world and not getting into that sort of thing. I'm fine with that, but this made me think it would be interesting. Wow, what if there's something like that? Except we actually did see technology develop in the alternate world over time. So, yeah. Yeah, it wasn't necessarily quite as crazy as I as I made it out, because before you watch it, I mentioned that whole thing to you about, oh, I wish I had seen your live reaction. I just wish, but I still did wish I could have seen what that reveal, because I just found that to be so kind of weird.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot to mention, we see Kirito's, well, actually, they're not his biological parents. Apparently, they're his aunt and uncle, because his parents are, I think they're dead? I don't know. Maybe it's like, maybe he's, I think they are. I guess he's like Spider-Man then. So we meet them. Have we met them before?
I don't remember them before, so.
If there's any point we would have met them, I think it would have been in the second half of the first season, but I didn't really see much of that, so I was wondering if you remembered them.
No, I didn't remember them.
Okay. Also, Kirito is 17? I thought he was past high school, but apparently he's in high school.
Mm-hmm.
That strikes me as kind of odd.
Yeah.
So, okay. That's a lot of stuff I was saying. All right. Did I have any other thoughts? All right. Did you have anything else to say about it?
No, not really.
Okay. I guess I already said most of it. Although, what annoys me the most about this episode is, so for the for our last recording, we talked so much about the 200 years thing. I knew I had to like try to find some title that had 200 in it. And I kind of went through some ideas, some like, you know, reference to things, but at the last minute decided that, well, it's not obvious that this is a reference to anything. So I just decided to call it 2000, A Sword Art Online Odyssey. And then I saw this episode and was really angry because that would have worked way better here. Okay. So, all right, we've talked all this about this episode. Did you have any, what about Alicization as a whole? Because that, as we mentioned, that's been about half of Sword Art Online. This is way longer than any previous arc.
Yeah, well, it's better than the first arc. I thought the first arc was the weakest. But, yeah, it just went on way too long. That's all I really think about it.
Yeah, that's my main takeaway, too. There are some kind of interesting ideas, but it's so long.
Uh-huh.
That's the thing. It's just so long. And apparently I mentioned there's going to be a smaller arc. Well, when I say smaller, I mean based on their rate of light novels per season, it looks like the next one will be about half a season in length. And then it moves on to the next arc, which is still in progress and is is right now, I think, two seasons in length about. So I don't know, but as it said at the very end of the credits, I don't know if you caught this, but it said Kirito will return.
Yeah, it said that at the end of the movie too.
Yeah, well, we'll see then. So yeah. Sorry. Okay, so that was Sword Art Online, episode 96. All right, so now that we've gotten through all of that, I guess we can give our usual top three stuff.
Okay, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. So for me, third place would be Assassination Classroom. Second place would be Attack on Titan. And then first place, which I know I'm getting so predictable, but I've just been liking it so much, ReZero.
Okay, so third place this week will be Attack on Titan. And second place will be Assassination Classroom. And in the number one spot for this week, it could be nothing other than Food Wars, because that's all I've been watching this week is Food Wars. I've watched the first 13 episodes of the third season, and man, it gets a lot. It's so much. Like, I liked it before, but the third season really steps it up in quality, and it's really good. And I mean, it finally gets like, and it we get a real villain to the show, and we kind of get like reasons for everything. Like it goes away from the old thing. The first two seasons, it was just kind of like, okay, Soma is trying to move up the ranks in cooking, but this completely changed it so that there were actual stakes involved in winning or losing, so that whenever someone would win, you'd actually be excited about it. This season so far, the first 13 episodes are by far the best of the whole series, and I can't wait to see more. And then the fourth plate comes out on Blu-ray in a couple weeks, so I'm hoping to have it complete by the time that comes out, and I'll be watching that too. The fifth plate, I probably have no choice but to watch subbed. So yeah, Food Wars was my favorite thing of the week. Erina's still my queen. So
try to keep your expectations low for the fifth plate, the final season, because I've seen basically everyone agree that's the worst part of the series.
Mm-hmm.
I actually, when I read through the manga, I remember the stuff that corresponds to the fourth season I didn't particularly enjoy. I haven't seen the fourth season. I'm just talking about the manga chapters. But I can also see, I can also look at it and say, well, I read the manga on a weekly basis. I read the chapters as they came out. If I were to watch them in anime form, where I'd be getting stuff more quickly, like, because there's multiple chapters in each episode, then I might have enjoyed it more. It might have been the fact of having to wait between the things. I mean, it's what happened with Black Clover. When I watched some stuff that I didn't like when I read in the manga, I found myself enjoying more in anime form. Sometimes just going through something faster and instead of waiting continually, especially in manga, because there's less stuff in each chapter than there is in an episode of an anime, can change things.
I feel like Food Wars is getting the benefit that Shangri-La got whenever I watched that in marathon form, because watching a bunch of episodes at once really seems to make it, it just makes it, it's for some reason, it's just better. I don't know how to say it. It's just better watching things in rapid succession like this. Now, I didn't watch any on Wednesday, but I've watched 4 Monday, 5 Tuesday, and 4 more today. So we just got a pretty big reveal. So I might, by the time we do our next podcast, be finished with the third season. So yeah, we'll see.
We could talk about it if you want. It's been a while since I've read the thing, but I know the events and such.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So this has been Toonami Therapy. You can find our previous episodes at toonamitherapy.podbean.com. We'll be here for you next week to cover the shows again, and we'll see you then.
Bye-bye.